It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Earlier this week, community leaders and public officials got together in the city council chambers and expressed their desired attributes for the next Pittsburgh police chief. The public hearing lasted 4 hours and was packed with lawyers, activists, and at least one past police chief, all discussing how the city should move forward in its search for a new chief. Joining us to talk about what he'd like to see in a new Pittsburgh police chief and how that process should proceed, as well as the attributes he'd like to see in the next mayor, is Pittsburgh City Councilman Patrick Dowd. He joins us in Studio A. Councilman Dowd, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, thanks for having me again. I really appreciate it.
And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Councilman Dowd, you were here a month ago, and what a difference a few weeks makes.
Yeah, it's been quite a change over the last 3 or 4 weeks since we last spoke, about policing, in fact.
Well, and during your last appearance on the program, you essentially called on Chief Harper to step down, even before word of the federal investigation into alleged impropriety in his department got out. And then he was forced to resign. Should the mayor have suspended Chief Harper pending the outcome of the investigation?
So really, that's up to the mayor. He made the decision. What I think is clear at the time that we spoke last, the chief has a reputation. He's worked, as I said when I was here last time, he's worked in the Bureau for over 30 years. He's provided a lot of quality years of service. I still don't know what's happened. I think a lot of us do not know what has happened. The mayor obviously has some information, perhaps more than the rest of us have. I think it was in Chief Harper's best interest to resign and to protect his reputation, to do what he could on that front. And my point when we spoke last was it would be very difficult for him to manage the Bureau and then and protect people, the citizens of the city, as at the same time protect his reputation. It's going to take him, it looks like, full-time work to protect his reputation. So I think it was proper and good for him to resign. What I think going forward, and we heard this very clearly at the public hearing that you mentioned just a moment ago, at the public hearing we heard very clearly from both the experts and from the community that this mayor should not be the one to appoint the next police chief for the city of Pittsburgh. There might be a change in the interim or something of that sort, but there's no question that the real decision about the next chief full-time moving forward should be left to the next mayor of the city of Pittsburgh. And I think that's the right decision. But in the meantime, there are a lot of reforms and things that we need to be issues first that we need to understand completely, and then probably, and I think very clearly, reforms that need to be implemented to make sure that we're doing the right thing for the Bureau and the city, as well as for the citizens of the city.
And the issues you mentioned include some of the alleged impropriety. I'm curious what some of the questions are that you're seeking answers to.
So as far as the impropriety, the thing that we saw on the front page of the paper today, some of the things that have come out, you know, the day that we spoke or even shortly thereafter, those issues relate to the transfer of money, the use of funds, all of that. That's obviously, you know, fundamental. You know, the mayor's number one job, if you think about it, is to bring money into the city so that you can then provide the services, whether it's trash collection or public safety or planning or parks or whatever, and getting a hold of and managing the cash, you know, both in checks and literally in dollars, needs to be the priority. Those are clear issues. But I still think that when we talked the last time, I still maintain that the most important issues as far as protecting citizens have to do with staffing and management of the Bureau. And I think as we look into the questions of secondary details and we try to understand what's going on and the magnitude of what secondary detail has become under this administration and the effect that it's had on policing in the neighborhoods, and we can talk about that. But just to give you a quick sense of that, if you look at the invoices for secondary detail in 2012, police officers from the city of Pittsburgh earned a reported $6 million and probably an additional $2, maybe $3 million of unreported money, providing protection for some institutions, mainly bars, strip clubs, and sporting events.
We're talking about policemen who are accepting work outside of their regular duties as City of Pittsburgh police officers and who are making a very good living outside.
Well, supplementing their the living that they're making as police officers inside of the city.
Well, and for some people, that's a that would be a very good just that job alone would be enough to support their family and all their needs.
As we saw in the paper yesterday, I believe there was a police officer who made $250,000 a year. That's you know, at least four times what I'm making as a councilman, and I don't know what it's probably six times the average income of the residents of the city of Pittsburgh. So, you know, yeah, you're right. It's very clear.
And not that there's, you know, if you're doing it legally and above board and there's transparency, that's fine. But I think the concern that you're talking about here is that this might be taking away
from
the duties of the police officers. And when we see things like the Cassandra Wade situation, then red flags begin to go up.
So let's quantify that, because that's exactly the point. So if you look at the number of hours that police officers would spend, let's say 450 approximately police officers patrolling all the zones in the city of Pittsburgh, 50 weeks if you just think a person works for 50 weeks in a year, let's say 40 hours a week approximately, that's about 900, ballpark at about 900,000 police officer hours. The detail time, the amount of hours that officers have dedicated to detail time is over 200,000 hours. It's almost 210,000 hours in a year. So it's a little bit less than a quarter of the time that they spend patrolling zones. That's clearly an imbalance. Another way to see this is to look at that the amount of dollars that police officers are earning in secondary detail is about, as I said, you know, reported six, approximately nine total million dollars that are going to these officers. Court overtime, which we also pay and which I think we should pay, it's important, we can talk about that, is, you know, in 2012, it was $3.1 or $3.2 million, a steady decline in that number. That's a really important indicator. I think I and I'm sure my colleagues, and I bet you most citizens, want the police going to the work in the zones, patrolling the neighborhoods, and when they make arrests, going to court and making sure that they provide the proper testimony and do what needs to be done in the judicial system. And we incentivize that with overtime pay for a good reason. And that dollar figure is half or a third of what most, you know, what the secondary detail number is.
So who has to set the tone for that? Does the police chief have to set the tone for it? And how difficult is it for officers to take their cue from someone like Chief Harper, who, again, is innocent until proven guilty, but who has been accused of doing things like starting improperly using city funds to help start his own side security business, awarding contracts to people for things like police radios in exchange for cash or other
exactly.
gifts. Does the police chief have to set the tone for the officers? And if the officers see that the police chief has his hand in the cookie jar, they want the cookies too.
I think everything that you said is true. The way I would look at this is there's a chain of command in a bureau like any sort of military type organization, and the police aren't military, but they have that same sort of structure. And if you look at that from the civilian oversight, whether that's the mayor or the public safety director, Mike Huss, those two individuals have to provide that level of integrity and scrutiny. And then inside of the bureau, from the chief down to the assistant chiefs, the commanders, the sergeants, all the way down to the first-year officers, there has to be a steady understanding of the culture of that organization. And when I was here last time, we were talking about the lack of sergeants. And you can see not only at the level of the chief, but as you move through the organization, when you have gaps like we have in the issue of sergeants, then that raises that makes it further difficult and more complicated to inculcate that culture that you want to have of integrity and focusing on the number one job, which is patrolling, protecting, and serving. And if you talk to officers, one of the things you'll hear is that, you know, because of this sort of the secondary business, the secondary detail work, a lot of early new recruits, new officers, are very excited about going to get to their secondary details. Not all of them, obviously, but they understand that it's a way to make money. And so we really need to rebuild that culture inside the organization.
Yesterday, we had your fellow councilman, Bill Peduto, here. He said that he could see no reason why the new chief shouldn't come from within the department. What do you think?
So there was, you know, Councilman Burgess stated unequivocally that he would never vote for a police chief nomination that came from within the bureau. I think, and I stated unequivocally that I think that is foolhardy and wrong. We should not dismiss the quality of any application. We should take applications from anywhere for the next police chief here in Pittsburgh. We should do a national search. I've been a part of a school district and a school board that looked for a superintendent. I've been a part of a library board that looked for a new librarian, president and CEO of the library, the Water Authority, the same kinds of issues. We've done a lot of different things, but in all cases, they've been national searches. Sometimes they yield candidates from without. Sometimes they yield candidates from within. It depends on the pool of applicants and what you have arrayed in front of you. We should definitely be open to everything. And I do think when, you know, you look at the talent that's in the Bureau, there are very talented people who spend their days going to work trying to do the job. There are more people that do that than not. It's like any other profession. And I'm convinced that there are talented people inside the Bureau who could, you know, who could hold their own as a chief. There's no doubt.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. We're talking with City Councilman Patrick Dowd, and we will take your calls, your questions for Councilman Dowd at 412-246-2002 when we return on Essential Pittsburgh here on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking with Pittsburgh City Councilman Patrick Dowd, particularly about how the city should proceed in finding a new police chief and how that search should happen going forward. If you have a comment or question, 412-246-2002 is the number to call. Again, 412-246-2002. You can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. Let's go to Christopher in the South Hills. Christopher, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, Councilman Dowd.
Hey, Christopher.
My name is Christopher. I'm calling. I had two questions. One you answered as far as I was at the public hearing the other day at Council Chambers, and I was just curious as to why Councilman Burgess was pushing so hard for an outside candidate. I feel like that kind of that doesn't give our police officers currently much incentive, you know, to go out and work hard.
You're right.
If they're just going to bring in people from the outside. Also, I was curious as to, you know, what you're looking for in the next mayor, as I am interning on a campaign for mayor right now.
Great. Well, two things about the outside versus inside. I don't think that we should specify a priority on that. I think we need to take the best candidate, and we should, after a series of conversations, and I would say after we understand more completely what's going on, we should establish a series of criteria that we think are acceptable and go and find a candidate that would meet that criteria. And that could well be a candidate from within. I don't think we should rule that out. I don't think we should in any way cast aspersions on anybody who would come forward from within. You know, I said this, I'm trying to explain this to my kids at the dinner table once and recently, and they sort of equated it to group punishment, which they've experienced and they don't like. Just because one person did something doesn't mean everybody's wrong. And I think far from it in the Bureau. We have many, many officers at a variety of levels who have done a lot of great work and continue to do a lot of great work. So we want to look for the best candidate no matter where they come from. And the second question, what was the second question? Oh, about the next mayor. I think that's ultimately the good thing about that is I get to work with whoever comes in, and that's a question that will be decided by the electorate. But when it comes to policing matters, what I would say is I would want a mayor who is going to prioritize and do everything possible to prioritize patrolling neighborhoods and making sure that we have the staffing levels that we need in the city of Pittsburgh to do the proper work as far as patrol is concerned, and to rethink, I think, philosophically and practically, rethink the distribution of personnel. Again, I come back to Zone 5, and we talked about that here about a month ago, but Zone 5 is short on sergeants. They have the highest level of aggravated assaults with a gun. It's the only zone where that's going up, and I could go on. I want a mayor who's going to see those kinds of numbers and respond with appropriate measures.
The mayor, Mayor Ravenstahl, denied knowledge of financial misdeeds on the part of the police. Do you think Mayor Ravenstahl knew what was going on?
I think the investigation's going to have to reveal that. I'm not an investigator. But I think most of us, you know, if you're reading the paper and you're thinking about government, this is a city government. I can't travel without filing reports. I can't and asking for reimbursements and going through proper processes. There are all sorts of steps and procedures for security guards and you know police personnel and so on to file reports. I have a hard time believing that that our former chief did something by himself with no knowledge or very little knowledge from anybody in the bureau, anybody in the mayor's office, and, you know, was successfully keeping it from both a council and a controller and two oversight bodies and hundreds of other employees. It's hard for me to imagine that he would do that by himself.
We're talking with Pittsburgh City Councilman Patrick Dowd here on Essential Pittsburgh. If you have a comment or question, would like to join the conversation, our number, 412-246-2002. Councilman Dowd, the last time you were on the show, Mayor Ravenstahl had not yet decided not to run for re-election. You ran against him last time. Now that he is out of the race, are you considering throwing your hat in the ring before next week's deadline?
No, I'm not. Although, you know, a lot of folks that helped me out in 2009, and that was a very difficult campaign, to be honest. We spent a lot of time campaigning against this administration and their policies and the corruption of the administration. We were blatantly calling that out and identifying areas where we thought that was true, to the point where at the end of the campaign, the mayor asked me for a public apology, which I have not yet given to him and probably never will.
He wanted you to apologize.
To apologize for calling him corrupt.
And we don't have to rehash all of it, but for people who may not have been paying attention or maybe new to the city, what were the areas where you felt that the administration was corrupt that you campaigned on?
The main issue that we spent time talking about was a ridiculous sign on Grand Street. You may recall I called it the sign of corruption during that campaign, but the LED sign on the Grand Street Transportation Center, and that sign was indicative of a large culture of corruption that this administration, I think we're seeing now clearly, was carrying out. And we could look at campaign contributions from various advertising firms locally and across the country, and special zoning exceptions that were granted to them over the counter that no other entity in the city would have been granted. We could look at other contracts that were issued, and we'd spend a lot of time talking about that. So 4 years ago, it was very difficult to do this. I'm proud of the work that the campaign team and I did at that time. We obviously lost and got right back to work literally the next day. And I'm not considering running. It's not even a thought at this point for me. My focus, I think, right now is and ought to be trying to make sure that we understand what's going on this deal with the police and other areas, and to make sure that we're doing the best that we can to manage through the next 10 months. And when we have a new mayor, to make sure that the council has a voice and really a strong role in, unlike the last 6 years with this administration, a very strong role in the redevelopment of this city, whether it's, you know, in police matters or zoning and you know, the use of various tools like TIFs or anything else that you can talk about.
412-246-2002. Let's go to Ted on the north side. We've had the south side earlier, now the north side. Ted,
that's
welcome
right
to Essential Pittsburgh.
You guys are geographically diverse.
Trying to be. Hi, Ted.
My concern is, I believe there are a lot of excellent police officers, but birds of a feather flock together. And every time I see a review coming up of someone accused of something, it seems like they cover over stuff because they're all buddies. I'm thinking an outside person would have less of a chance to be buddying up with people because they would have a more objective view rather than someone that's inside. Then they say, well, look, I work with these guys all the time. I got to do this, got to do that. So that's my concern. So what's your answer to that?
Thanks, Ted. That's a really great point. And just to add to you what you're saying, you know, as a school board member in 2005, I was part of a majority that brought in a non-traditional candidate from the outside of the city to be the superintendent of the school. So we did that, and we brought in, I think, some pretty radical reform. It's controversial, but I'm proud of that work that I was a part of. And at PWSA, the Water and Sewer Authority, where I serve on the board, we did something similar. It was very different, but at the same time, it's similar. We brought in an outside management firm with literally no contact, no connections to the city or to the – well, really to the authority. And I think that, to your point, they brought in objective viewpoints. They said, hey, we don't do things like this, or hey, why do you do things like that? Could we rethink this? They brought in some quality people also from the outside. So you make a great point. I don't disagree with that, and I'm not opposed to that at all. I just think that we need to look at the pool of candidates and give every candidate that would want to apply for this job equal and fair consideration.
What about the issue of diversity? We had an opportunity to talk with Chief Harper when he was chief about that particular issue. There seems to be a lack of diversity, a lack of African Americans and women on the Pittsburgh police force. The numbers would certainly indicate that. How important is it to address that, especially in the context of things like cases like Jordan Miles, Cassandra Wade, where there's a perception, whether it's true or not, a perception in Pittsburgh that cases, situations involving African Americans are handled differently than those involving whites?
So I think there is no doubt that what we need to think about as far as the next chief, and I really heard this clearly in the public hearing, and I've heard it clearly from many others in the community, is we need to find a chief that's going to help rebuild trust and confidence, not only inside the bureau, but I think in some ways more importantly outside in the community. And that this question of the hiring practices and not only the practices but the actual numbers, the outcomes of hiring goes right to that. And there, yes, absolutely, unequivocally, we need a chief that's going to be able to help diversify the force. But that's going to require looking at practices. How do we recruit? And do we do enough work going and literally actively recruiting young, talented people of all sorts to our bureau? And I think it also requires that we look at our the minimum requirements. I brought this up the other day. It was very controversial for some folks, but I said I think it's time.
This was at the hearing?
No, this was at another part of a council meeting. I think it's time that we re-examine some of the rules that we've laid out for, you know, minimum requirements for being a police officer. In the late 90s and early aughts, before, you know, we were fully engaged in Afghanistan, I believe, and certainly before Iraq, and before we saw a military ramp up, we didn't prioritize military experience, and we did prioritize having 60 hours of credit at a post-secondary education institution. And I have a doctorate, so I'm an educator, and I was an educator for, you know, many, many years. And I certainly value education. I don't want to in any way diminish that. But I think that there are many other ways that people can be educated and can be trained and can be professional. And we just want to look at either changing or supplementing or broadening the criteria that we lay out for police officers. And that's something that I think the new chief can help us really work on.
We literally are down to about 2 minutes, but yet another survey, this one a worldwide survey out of London, shows Pittsburgh as the most livable city in the world. But there are problems here.
Sure.
Aside from the police force, what are some of the other concerns you feel need to be addressed by the new police chief, the new mayor, and whoever else makes up the city council after November?
Sure. I mean, I think it's always good to keep this in perspective. Pittsburgh has made tremendous progress just over the last 10 or 20 years. We could map that out very clearly. And so those of us that are in the sort of in the arena fighting are not fighting to say that the city is not good enough. It's fighting to make the city better. And I think just first starting with that understanding that the objective here is to improve Pittsburgh and to improve the quality of life here. I think as I look forward and hope for what we're going to see in 2014, I'm first and foremost looking forward, hopefully, to finding a new mayor in that office, one who's actually going to communicate with the council. It's a rare day when I or many of my colleagues have conversations with the mayor, and it makes it very difficult to work collaboratively when you don't have any conversations. So I'd like to start with very basic things, but obviously then move to much larger issues around development, the growth of the city, and how we can do things as, you know, reform police and matters of that sort. I think there's a lot of great work to be done, but it all starts with basic conversations and good understanding.
Has there been a lack of that?
Absolutely, unequivocally. I mean, you could just ask each council member, when was the last time you talked to the mayor? And for many of us, it goes back to pension and parking. It might have been about the last time we saw the mayor.
That probably is a revelation for some.
Oh, it's a terrible thing. I mean, you know, to try to work collaboratively is very difficult if there's no partner on the other side of the table.
Well, you've outlined a number of issues where the city of Pittsburgh needs to improve and better procedures need to be put in place, particularly with regard to the police force here, and we'll be following those issues going forward. In the meantime, I want to thank Pittsburgh City Councilman Patrick Dowd for joining us here in Studio A. It's always a pleasure to visit with you. Thanks for being on Essential Pittsburgh.
Paul, thanks a lot for having me. I look forward to working on all these things with you.